Get ready for Triple M's Rush Hour. Andrew John.
Beautiful to John. Bang! Another nail.
Bernie Vince.
Vince, no goal kicker. Brings the house down.
And Greg Blewett.
There it is. A magnificent performance from young Greg Blewett.
Adelaide's ultimate sports show. On every afternoon. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
G'day everybody. Welcome to a beautiful, cloudless, clear, balmy Tuesday here in Adelaide, the best place on earth. And this is the best show on earth. It's your Rush Hour. And I say hello to former Australian Test cricketer, Redback superstar, no statue, no photos, down at Adelaide Oval, the home of Greg Blewett. Welcome.
G'day, Jars. I think there's a few photos, by the way.
No, there's not.
Yeah, there is.
Well, where? Tell me where there's one down at Adelaide
Oval. As you enter the members stand,
yeah,
coming out of the northern car park.
There's a big portrait you doing what?
Yeah, there is. Waving my bat after making 200.
You made 200, did you? Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Who's that against?
That was against
Tasmania.
Queensland. Queensland, I think. But this is what it's all about, Jars. 25 degrees. Bit of a, you can sniff it now, can't you? Just the warm weather.
How can I sniff it when I'm inside a studio?
I've got shorts on and a t-shirt, and you've got jeans and your RMs on.
I had an appointment with I was talking to a player.
So? Does that matter whether you're wearing jeans
or shorts?
You don't
dress down, you dress up when you meet a potential
player. You can look very sharp in a pair of shorts.
And I don't think so.
No. Well, you'd struggle to carry it off. But
now, Greg, we've got a big show lined up for a Tuesday Rush Hour edition.
We have.
Hello, G. Welcome
Hello.
Back.
Thanks.
You were sick yesterday?
Well, I had my second COVID jab, and I was just feeling a little bit flat afterwards, but now I'm fully vaxxed.
No,
so
good luck.
It was worth it.
Now, what's going on with Matty Crouch?
Yes, the groin.
He's getting used to surgery.
Yeah, had the double. I think he had the double groins done, which I had that done. So it's like a 30,000-kilometre service. I'm a bit flat for him because he's obviously been a bit sore. So he went to Sydney, got both groins done. So hopefully he can recover and get ready for next year. But, geez, he's obviously, pretty flat.
Something going on around that. He had hip surgery last off-season, Jars.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he had surgery in May. To stabilise a tendon, and now he's gone down again.
Yeah. It's a bit of a setback for him, but look, there's still plenty of time. So as long as he's ready for round one, cherry ripe, he'll be okay.
Well, let's hope they get to the bottom of it this time, Jars, because you just
he's confident
scar
that they
tissue
have.
And stuff from surgery's not ideal.
So, all good.
You had a chat to him?
Yeah, just to see how he was.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all good.
And when does he get back? When does he come back?
Oh, he's saying he'll be ready for round one.
Right.
Okay. So.
All right.
So you're happy with that or not?
Oh, well, if he's ready for round one, absolutely I'm happy because we've missed him, Jars.
Is the T20 World Cup on, Greg?
Yes, it is.
Well, where is it?
I was watching last night. I mean, it's not the best teams playing at the moment.
So
although
why?
Australia played New Zealand that's a warm-up game.
Well, how'd we go?
We won. We beat New Zealand.
Nice.
And New Zealand aren't a bad side at the moment.
Mm.
A little bit of a worrying sign because David Warner is he's been a very, very good T20 player, but he's been recently dropped from his IPL side, and he played last night, and just the golden duck.
He's in a
duck,
slump, mate. Just
golden
stay.
Duck.
He's in a slump.
But anyway, we got over the line. I'll tell you who got the Aussies over the line in the end. Josh Inglis hit two fours in the last over.
Don't want to hear that.
Why not?
Because he could take Alex Carey's spot.
Well, Alex Carey's not there. He's not going to. There's not a spot there for him. He's
so
not
he
in the squad.
Okay.
All right. So I would pick Josh Inglis. I've said this a couple of times. I would choose him ahead of
Alex Carey.
No,
you don't
Matthew
rate
Wade.
Alex Carey.
Matthew Wade.
How'd he go, Matthew Wade?
Well, he got a duck.
No,
I'm not sure how he kept, but looks like they're going to go with Matthew Wade for the first game. But I was watching another game. It was a blockbuster.
Yeah.
The Netherlands playing Ireland. Jars.
Yeah.
I can't believe you didn't tune in.
I didn't. I missed Ireland.
But
who won?
What about this rooster, Curtis Kampfer?
From Ireland,
but
it's
he's a South African.
What was that?
Oh, is he? Oh.
He's a South African.
Okay.
Playing for Ireland. Anyway, he got four wickets in four balls.
Did he?
Jars.
Did he?
His first one was a strangle down the leg side.
Curtis.
And then he knocked a couple of blokes over LBW.
Top of the morning to you, Curtis.
And then he got another one, a bloke chopped on.
Yeah,
but
right
you don't often see that,
No,
Jars.
You don't, Greg.
No.
All right. Adelaide Premiership player Denny Van Hagen was back at the training track with her teammates at the Adelaide Crows. As we know, it was revealed she was not willing to have the vaccine shot there, young Gregory. Mm-hmm. Teammates have rallied around young Denny, and during her first training session. Now, obviously, this is a hot debate.
Yep.
She's a hot one, Gregory.
It is.
Crows superstar Erin Phillips said this about her teammate.
The club does encourage us to get vaccinated as per the SA health guidelines. Yeah. Well, let's be clear. Everybody has a choice whether they want to be vaccinated or not. Look, I'm assuming in this situation with AFL, it's probably going to come to a point where if you're not vaccinated fully, you won't be allowed to play.
Thoughts? It's entirely her choice.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know. Denny. We haven't heard from Denny about the reasons why she's not keen to get it. At the moment, anyway, from what I've read, she's still looking into it.
Correct. And she's
not
a nurse.
She's not an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah, correct. She's a nurse. She works in the ICU wards, which she sees everything.
Mm.
So, you know, she's in the medical profession, and we've got to respect her decision. So she knows stuff that we don't. So obviously she's taking a stance at this stage.
Yeah, and also, you know, we don't know her medical records either, Jars, or her history, medical history, so there might be something that is preventing her because of that.
I know that the AFL, at the end of the week, will outline their vaccine policy to the code, Australian rule, obviously, to the AFL and the AFLW. So watch this space for an announcement from Gill regarding mandatory vaccinations for every player that plays AFL football, and I would imagine the girls.
So you're saying they're going to have to be vaccinated?
That's where it's going. That's the intel I'm getting.
Can I read you something that... So Tom McDonald, the Melbourne player, was asked about it as well.
Yeah.
And he's quoted as saying, it's not a necessity. It's been mandated on players and forced if you want to keep your job, which he's vaccinated.
Yeah,
he says, I'm vaccinated. Yep. And most players would have been. But to be honest, I think it's ethically wrong to force people into a medical procedure.
Mm.
I think we would have got 90% as a state anyway. I don't see why we need to cause such issues and division by forcing people in many jobs where it's probably not as necessary.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, I understand aged care and health care and people working in those environments have to
front
be.
Frontline, yep.
And I sort of agree with that, Jarvis.
Yeah.
I think it is a personal choice. I think we've all got choices to make. But when we get to this magical 70%, 80%, or whatever
number.
Each state's going to, and we all open up, everyone has had the choice, and as far as I know, has had enough time to get fully vaccinated. So therefore, you know, COVID is coming into our community. We all accept
Absolutely.
That, I think.
Yeah, we do. Yep.
And so if you're not vaccinated... Then you have to put up with the consequences because of that. Because I think at some stage, we will all come into contact with COVID, and it's how you think you're going to cope with it.
And the individuals that make that choice not to get vaccinated, well, that's the risk they've got to take.
That's right. That's right.
So because we know it's coming, and we understand that they want that magical number to get everyone vaccinated. But, you know, Denny knows something that we don't. And you're right, there might be some issues. She might come out in the next week or so to explain why she's taking this stance.
Yep.
She's a damn nurse. Mm. So she sees things that we don't see, you know. And we've got to respect that. And she may know things about the vaccines that we don't know, you know, because of where she works. So she's got a lot of support from her teammates, which is good to see. But here's the AFL CEO, Nicole Livingston, regarding the issue.
Is going to make it much easier to be an athlete if you are vaccinated. If anybody feels like, you know, playing a sport during a global pandemic is not for them, then I have to respect that as well.
No jab, no play.
Well, I think once we all open up as a country, then it's up to everyone whether they want to get vaccinated or not. So if you're playing football, I don't see how that's any different, to be honest.
Because all the workplaces are going to force it upon employees, aren't they?
Yeah, it's already started. That's already started, big businesses doing it. And now Victoria has said from this Friday that anybody that's an essential worker has to be vaccinated to continue working outside their home.
Even after we open up as a country, say into next year, what's going to happen then once we've all got to that 80%, 90%, what's going to happen then?
Well, I think they're saying, you know, you can choose whether you get it or not, but if you're going to do this job or work at this place, then you have to have it.
Yep.
So if you're choosing not to have it, you'll no longer work here.
There'll be a lot of people that won't have anyone to work with because they won't work.
Well,
they're
some
lose
people,
their job,
I think,
they'll just walk away.
I think 90% of people would be happy to. I don't know the number, but the majority of people are happy to get vaccinated. My own choice. I'm nearly 50 years of age, so I've always thought I'm bulletproof. But you know, I'm getting older, so I'm not completely confident if I get COVID how I'm going to react. Yeah. So that's my choice. Yeah. So I'm going to get vaccinated, but. It's still everyone's choice. It's coming.
Absolutely.
It's coming. Yeah. We're going to live in a community with COVID, and I think it's up to individuals' choices.
Correct.
And Giles, you can't say workplaces and workforces are going to run out of people to work in that area because it's only the minority.
It's already starting to happen.
But the minority of people are those people saying they don't want to get it. Look at the rates.
There's already workplaces struggling to find staff because of this mandatory that will come in, and they're worried about
like
not
what?
Having staff.
I don't think that's true. Most people.
I know. I've got mates ringing, mate. I can't get any staff. In very big industries that employ a lot of people.
I think the majority of people, though, are getting vaccinated. Look at the numbers. It's like already at 80%. Some states, like the ACT, are at 98% vaccinated. That's like 2% only of the population. Sure, they're loud, but they're the minority that don't want to get it.
It's not that they don't want to get it. There's different reasons why they don't want to get it, Jude. Mm.
You can't say they don't want to get it. Yeah. Obviously
they're choosing not to get it.
Yeah, they might want to get it, but they can't.
Choice.
Who knows? Now, Jars, here on the Rush Hour, like to take the family, our listeners, behind the scenes a little bit and just sort of realise that we're not perfect. We don't mind the odd mistake here and there. Mm. You know, we're not, you know, absolutely.
They're rare mistakes, Gregory.
Well, are they, are they or not?
Well, they are.
Okay.
Well, what have you? Well,
no, no. Well,
what are you up
yesterday,
to?
Yesterday we were reading the sport. Okay.
Oh, yes, we were. Yes.
We were trying
for the 4 to 5 o'clock hour.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
We were. And would you like to have another crack at the name that you were trying to get
Denny
right?
Van Hagen.
No. The Melbourne Essendon, the Essendon player that was re-signed.
Who's the Essendon player that was re-signed? I got that right.
Hibbard.
Oh, Michael Hibbard.
Hibberd.
Yes. No.
Right?
I couldn't
quite get it out.
No, well, hang on. Take that back because I rang Bernie last night because I've obviously missing Bern. Mm-hmm. He's out now, and I've said to him, when is he coming back?
Mm-hmm.
He said that I said it correctly because I replayed it to him. He said, that's how you say it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just take a listen.
Melbourne Football Club has locked in Michael Hibberd on a 1-year deal, which is fantastic for this young man. That's how I'm going to call him. And Crows AFLW star Denny. Do it again.
No, keep going. This
I
is
can't
great.
Do it again.
This is brilliant.
I can't mess it up.
I'm on board here.
Now, this is serious. AFL Crow star Denny Van Hagen could find herself unable to play games in Victoria amid reports he's not willing to get the jab. You stand your ground, sister. Stop laughing.
Amid report.
So you had your dizz and your boobs.
Yeah, I had a shocker. I had a shocker.
Oh, mate.
Because I'm cleansing now.
You're cleansing.
I'm back cleansing my body.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm detoxing.
All right.
And fasting.
Oh, yeah.
So I apologise to the clan. And the clan understand how I roll.
Yeah.
We've been together for a long time. And but Michael Hibberd, that's how you say and Denny Vardanigan.
Yeah. All right, well, it's just a little taste, so I've got a couple more together
as well.
You've
got a few more.
Yeah, come on, let's take a listen. Come on, G.
Any adventure, so it was kind of the best combo.
And Chels, what about the race? Can you see a future in terms of participating in some sort of pre-season program like this? What the hell was that question?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're Tommy's street smart.
Yeah.
Jesus.
What is that?
Tough new anti-whore.
Okay.
Wool suits worth $5.49. Okay. It's all right. I got it. Wool suits worth $5.49 are now only $2.99. I'm not making that up, Bern.
Where are we?
And their business shirts and winter casual wear are up by 50%. And their business shirts and winter casual wear are up to 50% off.
50% off. Peter Shearer Menswear, Grundle Mall, Mount Barker and Glenelg. Go in there on shop line.
How do you talk for a living?
Now, you're
right. Far from perfect.
I don't write these scripts. They're written for us, but I like to ad lib.
Oh, yes.
To make it real and make it sound like it's genuine. Okay. So that's why there's some slip ups from time to time.
Yeah.
And you don't play all the good ones. Mm. Oh, no.
No.
No. Find the ones that I just destroy.
No.
All right. And like, Peter Shearer, is he back? Do you know if he's back?
Sorry for coming back.
And shop online.
I think my favourite was not the anti-hoon laws, the anti-whore.
I don't like cricket. I
love it. Now, a little bit of cricket chat, Jars, because the SA Redbacks fought out a hard-fought draw against Queensland. They probably... I would say probably push the game forward at most stages, and then Queensland fought back and set South Australia 364 off 80. It wasn't 364, it was 324, I believe.
You got that right or not?
Well, I think I got it right off 86 overs. But joining us now is the coach, Jason Gillespie. Good afternoon, Diz.
Good afternoon, Louis. Good afternoon, Jazz.
Diz.
What was the total? Was it 324 off 86, they set us?
Yeah, spot on, mate. 324 off 86 overs, and certainly something that we felt, if we batted well, was achievable, but was always going to be a challenge.
Yeah, it certainly is at nearly four runs and over. So during that chase, where did you get to? Was it on track at any stage, or did you have to pull out at what stage of the day?
We were on track. Lads got through the new ball by the most part. Henry Hunt batted for about 10 overs, and then he got a leading edge to Gully. So one down, and then we had a bit of a partnership between Jake Carter and Nathan McSweeney, and we were ticking along nicely. We lost Jake on the cusp of tee, which probably didn't help us. He got out caught and bowled the Coonam and the left-arm spinner. So we went into tee thinking that we were still half a stiff, but then when we lost Travis on the other side of tee, we were starting to think that this might be a bridge too far, and then... Carey and Nielsen were batting quite well, playing not overly aggressively, but just playing with a bit of intent and keeping the scoreboard ticking over. But then when Harry got caught but deep backwards square, we just felt it was probably a bridge too far, and Nathan McAndrew went out there and him and Carey shut up shop.
What about the day before, Diz? Big partnership between Usman Khawaja and Jimmy Pearson. My understanding is you guys bowled beautifully in the morning, but they got away from me in the afternoon.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good summary, Blue. We bowled, I reckon, on that day three, I reckon we bowled probably 4 hours, 4.5 hours of excellent stuff. As you know, in first-class cricket, you know, batters, all they want to do is hang in there and get the rewards. Same with the bowlers. Our whole plan was to hang in there and get the rewards. To be fair to Manus and Usman, who batted in the first part of the day, they absorbed a lot of very good bowling. But both of them said that it was as tough a batting conditions as they've encountered, or as good a bowling as they've faced in first-class cricket in Australia. So it's a big tick for our bowlers. But look, they certainly after tea, when Jimmy Pearson was in with Usman, they played with a bit more intent, and with the older ball, the wicket had settled down, and they looked to be a bit more aggressive, and we had some tired bodies out there, but that's absolutely no excuse. But they played extremely well, and then got away from us a little bit at the end of the day, and then the morning of day four, they just went out there and basically slogged to set up a game.
So, Diz, where are we at? We've had two draws in the Shield game, one loss in the Marsh Cup, one win. Are we at this stage of the season? You happy or you're not?
Look, I'm pretty happy, Blue, to be honest. I think that the way we've gone about things, identifying periods where we could be a little bit better. And I think from our batting in the first innings of this Shield game, five of our top six batters had got in and got starts, got over 20 without anyone getting above 70. So that's probably an area that we can probably improve on. We talk about converting starts and someone going on and getting those big hundreds. And also we we lost, you know, it was that exposed our tail, 8-11. You know, we lost 5-15 with the new ball when Steckity ran through us. And that probably stopped us. The combination of no one going on and getting a big 100 and losing a clump of wickets at the end of the innings probably stopped us getting a more significant lead and putting a bit more pressure on Queensland. But what I was really pleased with was our intent throughout the whole game. We had the intent to win the game, look to win the game, and then if it got to a point, which it did, where we thought the win was out of reach, then we focused on saving it. And I thought we did that really well.
Now, Diz, 12 games without a red ball win in the Shield competition. Boys are getting close, as you've just mentioned. If you do get a win, will you put on 3 kegs and just party all night?
Look, we'll certainly enjoy ourselves, I suppose.
Please.
But, you know, look, it seems to be the media keep focusing on wins or non-wins.
Right.
Our focus is just on what's going to allow us to play the best cricket. And we're certainly putting our best foot forward. I think we had the better of Western Australia in the first Shield game on a surface that probably didn't offer as much for the bowlers as it did the batsmen.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the better of that game. And I think for the most part against Queensland, who, you got to remember, are the reigning Sheffield Shield champions. We dominated that game for more than they did. So I think certainly we're seeing some progress, and you know we're moving in the right direction. Right. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some promising signs, mate. We know you've got to get back to the boys. So appreciate your time and good luck in your next game.
Come on, Diz.
Always a pleasure, boys. Thanks for your support.
Take care, Diz.
There he goes, the coach of the Redbacks, doing a
we're getting close.
That's right, Jars. Last year was last year. This season, we're showing
Since you've been out of the program there's been massive changes and wonderful changes led by Diz.
And isn't it funny how just a couple of good results, you jump back on board?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you are.
No, I don't. I've been on the bandwagon from day one.
You're like the
Crows. When Ian Chappell took
over. You're the same with the Crows. As soon as the Crows lose a couple, it's not my old club. Garbage.
Cut it out, Roo. Gregory, I can't walk. I'm really sore because I went for my first run yesterday because I weighed in yesterday morning when I derobed and jumped on the scales because Marion dropped a hint on Sunday down at McLaren Vale. You're rather bulgy.
Oh.
We had a photo shoot together, and then when I looked at the photo, I thought, oh, God, I've got fluid retention issues all over the place.
Have you hit the crossroads?
Well, I'm at the fork the road. Yeah.
Which way are you going to go? Well, are you going to give up or are you going to fight?
Left is Fat Farm and right is Lolly Shop. Mm. Lolly Shop, Fat Farm.
Or Finger Buns.
Well, that's down at Lolly Shop.
Right, okay.
Or Sugar Shop.
What have you chosen?
Well, after a lengthy discussion with Maz, so I said, all right, well, I'll get on the scales yesterday. And they say you shouldn't if you want to try and, you know, get rid of some weed.
When you got on the scales, did you take everything off?
I told you, I was derobed.
Oh, you were derobed.
Yeah, I was ready to go. I wasn't chiseled up.
Because you were worried about where it was going to get so you took off everything.
So I did, and jumped on the scales.
Nasty.
What was
nasty
it?
Nasty thought.
No, it's not.
You naked on scales.
Get nicked.
I'm just picturing that Simpsons episode where Homer's gut is hanging over the tail rail, and he thinks his heaps lighter than he is. You know what I'm talking about? Not likening you to Homer Simpson, Jars.
I did hold over. I did.
Are your scales
on
below the tail?
No, so I put new batteries in the electronic scales. Ooh. So I jumped on.
What, they needed new batteries?
Yes, they did. They did. So I jumped on, and I could hear Marion coming into the bathroom because obviously she realised I was derobed. Scared. I was scared of the numbers that came up on the scale, and I thought, hang on. You know, I'm still a pretty elite athlete.
Now, you don't have to tell us, but what are...
No, not good numbers.
You three figures?
I'm three figures. Yeah, I don't want to say...
He's very tall.
No, he's not.
Yeah, I'm 181.
What was your playing weight?
When I left the Adelaide Crows in 96, I was a raging 93 kilo.
Right, okay.
When I was playing for North in the 80s, I was an elite 85 kilo. So I'm like a racehorse. But anyway, thought, do something about it. Right, let's go. Back on fasting, back on the juices. Enough's enough. The donut shop down the road, that had to shut down because I haven't been here the last two mornings.
Yeah.
They're shattered. Anyway, I went for a bit of a run last night down at the Henley Oval, got the sand shoes back on, going to get the bike pumped up, I'm back. So all I'm saying to you is I'm back. Now, if I'm shuffling around, I apologise because I'm sore from my first 1.8K run yesterday.
1.8? 1.8. And talking about shuffling, was it the Cliffy Young shuffle when you were...
No, it was the Robert De Castella tight run. And can I apologise to the under-8 soccer team because I got in their way.
Well, why?
And one lad called out, "Hey, baldy man, get out of the way." He thought he was Ronaldo.
Under-8. Yeah. Cheeky little bugger.
He was on my running track. Oh. But anyway, I'm back. So I just thought I'd let you know because your puny little skinny legs couldn't cope running around there telling me.
What
Catherine
do you mean?
Sent me a message saying, no. You reckon you, I'm going to get fit, but you haven't done nothing.
No, I have.
Said.
I haven't run there since my operation last Wednesday.
With your plums, yeah,
well,
yeah,
as soon as they get a bit of a bounce to them, they get
no
bit...
bounce, mate. There's nothing there.
No. So I'm doing my weights and stuff at home, so I'm sort of trying to. No, but I'm the same. I went to Kangaroo Isle and I came back a bloated mess. So
you
I've,
were bloated,
but
were you?
That was a month
There's
ago.
There's nothing of you.
No, I can tell. But anyway, good. Good.
Yeah, so yeah, and then the last bit of it, the last bit of this chat, is that my daughter's getting married next year. Oh, you're right. You're right. What I'm trying to talk, you're coughing your guts out. She's getting married next year, and the last bit of advice when she just said, "See you, Dad," you need to drop 10.
Oh, well, that's good motivation.
Wow.
Jazz.
Ooh, bang.
Yeah.
Straight between 10. The eyes.
10.
Well, stick at it.
Not 5.
Stick
10.
At it. Yeah. You normally last a week. Stick at it this
and
time.
And last bit of advice when she jumped in the car. Don't embarrass me, Dad. Bye. Love you.
Aww.
Yeah, nice. Drop 10. Don't embarrass me.
Well, do it. Don't just say it. Do it.
Say it again.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Tonight, 2Ks, Jazz.
Do it. Do it.
Yeah, what are you doing tonight?
1.6.
You had to think about it. Jeez, you're not even going to do it tonight.
We love to hear from the Rush Hour fam on the Automasters text line, 0488851047. Today's question comes from James from Broadview, who says, not sure if you saw, but ex-Saints coach Grant Thomas has whacked his old club saying they were just happy playing AFL this year. Reckon any other clubs were guilty of that this year?
I did hear some of the interview from Grant Thomas, and I actually enjoy his honest opinions on our game. And his thoughts.
He doesn't hold back.
He doesn't hold back. And he's a very wealthy man, just quietly. But
what's that got to do with it?
Oh, no. I'm just. It's got. James, I'll get to the point. Now, he's trying to endorse a friend of his to go onto the St. Kilda board.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's all he's doing. So he just said our club has just been going through the motions year after year after year. We haven't won a premiership in. With about 60-odd years since 1966.
They were disappointing this year, weren't they? Coming off the back of the
and he did say
season.
That, Grant Thomas.
Yep.
So he said it's time to shake the tree and be serious about do we want to be a premiership club or just a club that just floats through home and away and just be one of those clubs to happy to do that. So Ray, he basically challenged them to a degree, but he was respectful of them.
Mm.
But he's endorsing his friend to get on that board to make some change.
Right.
So I like that. I like that when you get it, you know, because he's got credibility, Grant Cameron.
Was that the question, though? Wasn't it any other teams?
Any other teams, yeah.
Any other teams?
Is there?
Well, do you reckon anyone went through the motions this year that
just
sort of underachieved?
Through.
Oh, yeah, well, you got the Gold Coast. West Coast Eagles did. Collingwood did.
West Coast. What happened on the West Coast?
You look at the Carlton Football Club. Absolutely. There's plenty of other clubs that did that. It's a good question, James, but Grant Thomas was right. You know, shake the tree. Don't be just happy just to float through year in, year out. Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs are now overtaken St Kilda. You know, they're playing premierships. They've won a flag now. They've been in the finals. Where's St Kilda? So, yeah, he's right. But other clubs there, Adelaide Crows, Port Adelaide. Well,
no,
Port Adelaide.
The Crows are rebuilding.
Well, there was some rebuild there, But, you know, you got to keep challenging yourself as a football club internally and externally, don't you?
Are you a tree shaker?
Oh, I don't mind it, yeah. I am. And I like to see what falls off and what stays. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to get a tree in this industry and I'm going to shake our tree in a rush hour.
Who's going to fall out? Who's going to hang on?
The way you're going, you're going to fall off big time.
I think Blue helps keep it together.
No, I don't. Anyway, good question, James from Broadview. Thank you for that. Keep them coming.
Keep them coming on 0488851047. Where were you? This is a bit of a game we're playing, seeing as Byrne has been away and usually would do his facts. So Blue loves this because he's winning.
Yes.
5-2, I think the score is at the moment, isn't it, Jars?
Yes, sir. Yes, thank you.
Okay, so you've got to guess, who am I? I was born in Perth on the 1st of July, 1989. I started karting at the age of 9 as a member of the Tiger Kart Club and entered numerous karting events.
Oh, you're kidding. What a segment.
Well, he's from Perth and they were starting
what a ridiculous segment.
Okay, Ben.
It's got to go.
These are too easy, producer Ben.
That's rubbish. Oh, I'm serious.
Okay. I'm going to write tomorrow's Who Am I, okay?
What a load of rubbish.
I'll make this harder.
It's not funny.
Have I told you my Monaco Grand Prix story?
I met Daniel with Bluey that just puts people to sleep.
Do you want a few more of the clues?
No, I still won't get it.
Okay. Jars. Yeah. During the mid part of the 2008 season, I made my Formula 3 debut.
Yes.
Keep going.
I moved to the British Formula 3 Championship for the 2009 season.
Any ideas, Jars?
I made my track debut at the wheel of a Formula 1 car when I tested for Red Bull Racing as the youngest driver's
Alan Jones. I'm going home. See you, everyone. See you tomorrow.